Thank you, Pastor. Love you. What an awesome God we serve. Hallelujah. That He has placed us right where we are. In the name of Jesus, I thank you. We've been talking and hitting at this critical spirit, or superior spirit. And been talked about it with Pastor the other day, and the more we talk about it, the more we see how it works. And of course, me seeing it, how it worked in my life. And I know one of the things is that when a demand gets put on me, the first thing I know is, can I do it? Am I smart enough? Do I know enough about it? How can I do this? And what God is showing me is He can do it through me. I'm going to share one little quick thing about Sunday school. This Sunday, our lesson was the letter V. And we talk about things relating with the Word of God and the letter V. And so one of the things we talked about was being a vessel that God can use and that God fills us up. So what we need is inside of us. And we talk about how Jesus reaches out to others with God's love working through us and touching people by sometimes just a smile or whatever He shares. And I told the kids, I said, you don't see God walking down the street in a cowboy hat or something like that. He doesn't work like that. He didn't come and do it to us. He works through us. He uses vessels. And therefore, I know that what I need to do any area that the demand is put on me, whether it's to come up here and speak or whatever it is that Jesus gives me what I need. Because what somebody else needs from me or from that demand, really, I don't have it. I don't have anything to meet Brother Ernie's need. I don't have anything to meet that person that's out there that needs a touch of God or needs a healing or anything. I'm not able to do that. But Jesus, if I will think, like I said, this is a mental thing for me, is that I had to realize that that it's Jesus in me reaching out, the Holy Spirit working in me, reaching these other people. And whenever I think about it being me, that I can do this, then that's that superior spirit. I was talking about, one of the things I talked about it was whenever I was in my earlier years in another church that I was at, is that we had we went to classes to learn how to get somebody saved. Okay? And I'm sure there's a lot of them. They're witnessing classes. And, and it's good to learn what scripture to share with people and things like this. But, and we would go out and do this. But it was put on me, and I felt the responsibility of getting somebody saved. And I thought that's what it was about. And Jesus had to reveal it to me that, hey, buddy, you can't save nobody, I don't have anything to save anybody. I'm operating in my own superior, in my own authority. It don't work, It's a matter of Jesus said that's up to me. So That's his job, and I can't do it. But Jesus inside of me can. That took a big burden off of me because of I felt like that it was my responsibility. And I just, the struggle of feeling the responsibility of controlling something I had no control over, you know, trying to get them to make the right decision. And you engage that in your own mind rather than in your spirit, right? You try to get them, you know, like if you want to get somebody to believe like you do. And then Jesus showed me, he said, it's not your responsibility. All you are is to love them. And, you know, when you go to them, you don't even have to ask them about church. You don't have to ask them if they're saved. First thing people need to know is that they're loved, you know. And so God showed me that his love was one of the most important things. And that I need to have a correct attitude about where I am. You know, trying to do things in my own strength and then rather than relying on the Holy Spirit. Because the reality is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which is in Philippians 4 and 13. And, you know, I work with a lot of people, and I know some of y'all have too, have associations, and they go to different churches, and they say, well, you don't need to pray about everything. But, you know, the Bible tells us in Philippians 4 and 6 about be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And so there are certain areas that I wanted to, that the Lord has really keeps bringing to my remembrance, because it's real easy for me to want to take credit for what I've got, what I've done, or what I know. And then I know that that I really don't have anything without him. And one of them is talking about it's easy to be critical of other people. And here's somebody's definition. A critic is someone that considers themselves an authority or a master of a subject, which qualifies them to point out the good and the bad. And you know, pointing it out to somebody else. But that's not, we are supposed to be, you know, in humility when we talk to other people. We don't want to raise ourselves up above them. I know that one of the things I saw Jesus was called, he said he was a servant. He was the prime example. He didn't lift it. He could have been a king on earth, you know, but that wasn't his plan. He came to be a servant and to serve other people. And, you know, we can, in our spirit, you know, when it's that me spirit, I even have a hard time using the word superior spirit. I don't like that. Because it's ugly to me, you know, and I see the ugly parts. I see the ugly parts and how it's affected me, and I'll start thinking about somebody or something, and I'll start having a critical, you know, idea or something, and the Lord quickens me. You know, you don't have a right to be critical, because I don't even have a right to a sound mind without him. Who do I think I am that I'm even where I am? Because you know, there was two places in particular that I remember in the Bible. One of them was King Nebuchadnezzar. And he was a mighty king. He was probably the supreme thing on the whole earth at that time. His realm and his thing, and he got filled up with pride. And I think it was a prophet or somebody told him that, you know, hey, God told him, that you was going to be out eating with like cows out in the pasture or something. And, you know, and he couldn't believe that. Oh, man, I'm good. You know. But he guess what? Right after that, there he was out there eating grass out there like a cow out in the pasture, out in the grass and weeds, whatever. And there was another part in the word where it talks about. Let me see if I can find that note there. But it was talking about when we go to a brother, and let's see. Yeah, Nebuchadnezzar was insane for 7 years because of his pride. 7 years. The other one was talking about when you go to a brother. It's talking about maybe correction or something that you want to discuss them about. It says, this really got me. It said, to go in humility. Don't go thinking you're better than they are. It says, lest I allow you to fall to the same sin. And so I say, you know, whenever I start thinking about something or somebody else, you know, one of the things sometimes we want to do is, you know, that superior spirit wants to, you know, well, hey, I go to church every Sunday, you know. And so you compare yourself with other people to justify where you are. Well, I may not do this, but I do. I give in the offering, or, you know, whatever that spirit wants to do to justify itself and make it seem right. Because, you know, God said he doesn't want us to be critical. He wants us to be full of his love and to show love for everybody and to have compassion. I don't think you can be critical and have compassion in the same thing. And the Lord kind of reminded me one other time about the thing about, you know, the devil condemns people. Because whenever you feel being condemned about something, that's not God. When he beats you up about something, when you didn't do something good enough or whatever, because God's way and Jesus' way is conviction. And I know one time let me finish that statement, is that he convicts with love, okay? Correction with love is Jesus' way. And whenever you feel condemnation, you just need to say, devil, get behind me. And I was going to give one little quick story about whenever this was probably 20 years ago at least. But I remember I used to have horrible nightmares. I've never been one to really watch scary movies and stuff like that, because I know I don't want to let the spirit of fear in. But somewhere in my past, I had let the spirit of fear in, because every once in a while I would have some of the most satanic dreams that I would wake up in a cold sweat. And so I would, you know, pray and ask about it, but the devil would just kept on. It was a point of torment. And then God gave me that reality that if I forgive you, it's done, and that I had to accept it, and then not to allow the Satan to condemn me, because condemnation, he told me that if you allow him to condemn you, you're allowing the devil to pronounce spiritual death on your life, okay? Just like somebody condemned to die. So, and once I prayed that, and I, you know, really took it in prayer, all that went away, and I have never had another nightmare like that. Never. You know, because if the devil knows something works on you, he's going to keep doing it. And that goes in everybody knows that. You know, if he knows he can get you out of the spirit on Sunday morning by having an argument with somebody, you're going to have an argument every Sunday morning. And that's what you were saying a while ago, Pastor, about that, you know. And, and I believe that was most of the points that I was trying to bring about, is it, you know, is that we have it. And there was something else we talked about in prayer, this one thing that I hadn't seen before, was that that superior spirit has a built-in protection system. Because it's worried about what other people think. It protects itself. And that was something I had never seen before. But, you know, and I thank Lord that he showed me these things, like especially like whenever I'm thinking about other people or something, that, you know, that that's that superior spirit trying to think I may be, you know, what right do I have to put my thoughts, because I don't usually put it in my tongue, my thoughts are on my brothers and sisters in the Lord, you know. Because we're supposed to exhort our brothers and sisters. And is there any other things that we were talking about the other day? Or yes.
Thank you, Elder Carl. Yes. God bless you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes, you know, people may say, oh, they're going after another kingdom, another spirit. But if we would open our heart up, we would be shocked that by the time we came through what's on that prayer target, our daughter would be healed, our marriage would be restored, there'd be money in our pocket, our needs would be met. That's the purpose, because we don't know the problem. That's superior to think that that's not us. It's superior to think that's another kingdom, I'm not going to partake of that. Well, until we partake of what the root cause of our problem. How many has problems that hit their life sometimes? Well, how do you solve a problem? You get to the root of it. You don't just get emotional release. It don't solve it. You get to the root of it. And if we're not willing to come subject to what's going on, then we're not open to find out these things, and they can't be fixed. Amen? So I thank God that we're coming against another spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise for it, God. I thank you. Thank you for exposing this superior spirit in our lives that would tell us that we don't need to partake of what's going on in the church, that we already know everything to do, and we're just going to do what we want to do, and then we wonder why we don't live in victory 100% of the time. It's because we cannot make ourselves victorious. It takes you to make us victorious, God. And I just release that revelation in people's lives. Until we get to the bottom of the problem, it will not be solved, God. We know that in the work world and everywhere else, we have to get to the root of the problem, and it's deception to tell us that we don't have to go against another spirit. That's against the vision. That's against the vision. That's against what God called us to do. He said, I called you to pull down strongholds. I called you to get to the root of the problem. I called you to take Crossed Arkansas. I called you to take yourself and take somebody else and go to the land and set the captive free. In order to set them free, I got to know what the problem is. Thank you, Jesus. It's been a good night, hasn't it? I love you, Kim. I'm so glad to see you. Thank y'all for encouraging people. You know, sometimes need a little encouragement. Just send a text, call somebody. Just let them know you love them. And like Elder Carl, you know, we don't have to know why or be critical. We just pour our love out on each other till we all can come into the unity of the faith. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for coming in and having your way tonight. Thank you for strengthening us in the inner man. Thank you for giving us revelation.